You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Slavery is back.
Welcome to a place where private business profit from a captive labour force, yet pennies are spent on medical services to a population in which the Indigenous, the poor and the mentally ill are overrepresented. Where isolation, humiliation, and degradation are facts of life. Welcome to prison.
It depends who's telling the story, I suppose. The prisoners would have one view. The people who work in the prison system would have another. And I think it's up to people to decide where the truth is.
Give government propaganda and the media spin doctors the flick. And check out Doin' Time for news, views and tunes on prison issues from Guantanamo Bay to Christmas Island, to prisons and detention centres everywhere. Every Monday at 4pm on your community radio, 3CR.
We are still fired up and we're still talking about revolution.
Hello and welcome to the Doin' Time Show. This is 3CR Community Radio, 855am on the dial, streaming live on www.3cr.org.au. This is Marissa, and I'll be with you for the next hour. And a warning that this episode of Doin' Time contains audio images of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who have died and graphic discussion of deaths in custody. This week's show is a special commemoration broadcast honouring Aboriginal teenager TJ Hickey, who died at the hands of police on the 14th of February 2004. 22 years on and still there's no justice. No justice, no peace. As well, the Doin' Time Show will be conducting a special interview with BJ Newton, who is a proud Wiradjuri woman and associate professor at New South Wales, Sydney, to look at sorry business and look at what's happened 18 years on from the national apology to the stolen generations. The systematic removal of Aboriginal children is worse than ever. First up, we'll hear from Auntie Diane Whittaker, and I always love yarning with Auntie Diane, and we're going to have a yarn about TJ Hickey and talk about the injustice of police investigating police and the injustices that have arisen and the ongoing campaign. After that, we will speak with Cheryl from ISCHA, Indigenous Social Justice Association Melbourne, who will give us a short solidarity message for DJ and talk about the importance of subscribing to 3CR. Then we will hear from BJ Newson. Newson says that despite the national apology to the stolen generations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children are being removed from their families at unprecedented and escalating rates, despite national commitments to ensure such injustices never happened. Australian police are often hostile to the poor and are famous for blatant brutality towards Aboriginal people. Police represent the ruling class, with the police force being founded on genocide and stolen land. On the line we have Auntie Diane, and she will be speaking to us shortly. Hello, Diane. Welcome to the program.
How are you, darling?
Oh, it's been a very chaotic day, but yeah, okay. Yep. Still grieving, Auntie.
Yeah, we all are. Yeah.
I mean, there's just so much to think about, isn't there? Can you just start off by letting us I just wanted to ask you what land you're from.
I'm from the Kamilaroi Nation, northwest of New South Wales.
Fantastic. So, Auntie, can you just, you know, it's been 22 years on, right?
It has been, yes.
And still there's nothing resolved, you know?
No, Gail's still trying to get the pipe put down, as we all know. They've never indicated if they can go ahead with that. We're still railing in an act of the justice for TJ. Still no answers. Still the family still in pain and in grief. And Gail won't stop until she gets her justice for TJ.
Exactly. Auntie, are you able to just speak up. I think the reception on your phone's not great. Are you still there?
Yeah, I think it is.
That's better.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's better. Go on.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no justice for PJ or any deaths in custody. Now, we've had a royal commission in the deaths in custody and still no action. They're getting away with murder with women in employment. And they have been getting away with it for such a long time. And we should be saying this out loud because it's in within their employment and murder's been carried out and they're not being charged. There is no police officers. There is no corrective services. No one's being charged. All they're getting is cultural awareness and that's it. Until the next proceeding. And then we're going through this family after family. It can't continue to happen. We've had a royal commission. When they had a royal commission in deaths in custody, it meant no more couldn't happen. But it continues to happen.
Exactly. And we've got to build the movement to stop Aboriginal deaths in custody. And Gail, Auntie Gail, it must be the mother of TJ. It must be horrible for her.
Yes. Well, I've had a death in custody myself. My nephew has passed away. And it's something you never get over, you know. It's still in grief, you know. And no money can pull that off, you know. And even them having time in jail, the who carried out that crime, you know. But TJ was only young. He was only a young boy. Left his other auntie's place, Bowie Hickey's, up at Douglas Street, Waterloo. Went down to Redfern to see his mum. Stayed there for a short, brief minute. Started to ride the bike back up to Waterloo. And then he was pursued by police from Redfern Police Station. And then the impact happened. But the negligence on behalf of the police and ambulance, because all they had to do was to throw that piece of metal away and continue to take TJ to a hospital and then carry out normal hospital procedures and try to remove it. But they removed the body off the picket fence, the metal picket fence, and that's what caused the internal bleeding.
It really is a dreadful thing. And, you know, the teenager had committed no crime.
No crime. It was a mistaken identity, really. Nothing. He never did nothing wrong. All he did was went to Maida Bay and got seen by police and then a pursuer and they chased him.
I mean, it's pretty typical, you know, racial profiling is ever present, isn't it? Because they were searching for someone else, weren't they, at the time, the police?
Yeah, they were.
Who'd robbed another at Redfern train station. And, of course, there was no evidence linking TJ to the crime, and yet he was impaled on a fence. That wasn't an accident.
No, it wasn't. And it was that narrow, where the gap was the car come behind the bike and push the bike and the bike went up into the air and came down onto the fence. And it was quite narrow. I think it was car 16, a red firm, car 16, the bull wagon, yeah. It came down and I hit the back of the wheel and the wheel went up into the air, the whole bike and TJ went with it too. And that's what happened when it came, down that hill, he came onto the fence.
Yeah, well, that's right. Because, I mean, it's really interesting, the coroner's report, that was about police investigating police, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So there's still campaigns. Sorry, what was that?
And what did that do? That went nowhere.
Correct. Tell us about that.
Well, it went nowhere, actually. The police inquiry. It went nowhere.
I mean, to label the incident a freak accident is genocide, and it's an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, it is another form of genocide.
So I know that Aunty Gail and supporters, and were you at the rally this year, Aunty Di? Because we've been campaigning for many years.
I couldn't get over this year because I'm able to walk.
That's okay. Oh, okay. But I mean, it doesn't matter. You're still there anyway in spirit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, what else? I mean, there's so much to talk about. Like, even the inquest. I mean, that was all botched, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was.
You know, Auntie, the other suspicious circumstances that are continuing to raise concerns two decades later include police having pulled TJ off the fence prior to the ambulance arriving, which is not the way that officers are trained to respond to such emergencies.
No. It's cold-blooded murder.
Yeah.
And they get away with it.
Yep.
And continue to arrest people. I was asleep in my bed last night, and the police came by, and I seen this spotlight. And next week, my whole house was there's a spotlight in there. And me and my daughter got up, and we went to the window, you know, thinking, "Oh, what are the police doing? You know, spotlight now."
Yeah. It's, I mean, with Aunty Gail, I think she also went to the UN too, didn't she, about this?
Yeah, I think something did happen, took place. But I'm not sure who told that out. Gail didn't go herself, but it was spoken about.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Auntie, I remember your speech. I was so inspired by your speech when I came to Sydney to support people, you know, the persecuted Hickeys when they went to trial.
Yep.
And, you know, there's just too much going on. There's too many police powers now, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. Yep.
Anything else you want to say?
Police powers.
Yeah.
You got no right to listen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is there anything?
Sorry,
I didn't hear you properly. That's better. Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
It is. It's a bit worse. Whereas before, when I grew up as a kid, you know, they used to pick our old people up and lock them up overnight, but they'd be out in the morning, you know what I mean? But now the system's all want to incarcerate that many Aboriginal people and keep them incarcerated. And, you know, since time has come here, that's how we've been living. And closing the gap, and now they expect that to happen when they continue to kill us off. Whether it's in the incarceration or in the medical or just unhealthy living, healthy style.
Yeah.
And they've got us living this way. They've got us living this way.
Yeah.
They're carrying out what the Hitler's at.
Exactly.
I went up the road here once, and United Nations were up there, and they had two documentaries on. One was about Hitler and the Holocaust, and the next one was about our Holocaust. Anyway, they were showing the one about Hitler, but then we went over and had a look, and the kids were looking at something else. And the lady said to us, she said, oh, if you want to have a look at that, you have to take the kids home and come back. So which we did. And, oh, the things they did to us. You know, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
What happened?
Oh, under religion and turning our land and all that under religion, because they said we believed in animals and, yeah.
What?
Yeah. This is the way the Europeans are thinking about it.
I'm not surprised, to be honest.
Yeah.
It beggars belief, Auntie, really.
It's still documenting us after all these years.
Yeah.
And we're in the 20th century, you know what I mean?
I know.
And still and killing ourselves.
As diminished, as it's always been diminished, but ever since you've been settlement, it's changed a lot.
What was that, Auntie?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's ninging up.
That's it. I mean, no police or corrections officer has ever been convicted in relation to any of these custody debts.
No, none of them. Right across the country.
Yeah. It's disgusting. Arnie Di, thank you so much for coming onto the program. I mean, I rang you on Sunday, and I know it was really spontaneous and short notice, but I felt like I really needed to hear your voice and to commemorate and honour TJ's death.
Yeah.
You're his auntie, isn't it, Diane?
Oh, well, darling, yeah, we're auntie, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much, and it was so lovely to have you.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
In 2026, 3CR is celebrating 50 years on air. Help us celebrate 50 years. Subscribe.
Go to 3cr.org.au or call 03 9419 8377. In 2026, 3CR is celebrating 50 years on air.
Over five decades, we've been home to hundreds of shows, thousands of broadcasters and guests, and hundreds of thousands of listeners.
This February, we're aiming for 1,000 subscribers.
It's just $40 concession, $80 full.
Help us celebrate 50 years. Subscribe.
What's taking place in Palestine is horrendous.
Here are some ways that you can keep yourself informed and involved.
Listen in to Palestine Remembered every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. or listen to the podcast.
Join the APAN mailing list at apan.org.au for updates, news about actions you can get involved in, and where you can donate to provide humanitarian assistance.
Listen to other news and current affairs programs on 3CR that also cover Palestine.
The oppression of the Palestinian people has been going on for 75 years. It has to stop. You can be part of making that happen by staying informed and active.
APAN is a proud supporter of 3CR.
You're listening to 3CR doing time show, 8:55 a.m. on the dial. Streaming live. And we're going to be speaking now with Cheryl from ISJA, Indigenous Social Justice Association Melbourne, who will give a short solidarity message for TJ Hickey. And in case people have just tuned in, there is a content warning that there will be graphic discussion of Aboriginal deaths in custody and of a person who has passed away. And you just heard an interview actually with Auntie Diane, who spoke at length about her grief in regards to TJ Hickey. So stay tuned for this special commemoration of TJ Hickey, and also we will look at Stolen Generation later. Hello, Cheryl. Welcome.
Hi, Marissa.
Lovely to have you. That time of year has come around again, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you hear the discussion with Auntie?
I did, but much of it was a bit foggy. So
I know. There was a little bit of reception problems, but she was grieving quite a lot and was speaking quite a lot about police investigating police. And we were talking about Aboriginal deaths in custody.
Yeah, well, she's lost not only, you know, Auntie Bowie, who was a fighter as well, you know, that was on that deaths in custody journey, but she also lost one of her nephews, and as well as TJ. And it's been all around, you know. It's really, the Gamilaroi mob have been really, you know, hard hit with deaths in custody. So at this time, did you want me to just acknowledge that is your Melbourne? We continue. I'm a bit emotional. Sorry.
Sure, me too. Yeah. A little bit. I know.
22 years on, continue to pledge our solidarity to Auntie Gail and her family and community. And while none of us actually made it up there this year for the rally, we were certainly with them all in spirit, and we'll continue to be solid with them until the time for justice does come.
Yeah, thank you, Cheryl. I mean, you know, the other thing that I was talking about with Auntie Diane is the fact that I was saying that no police or corrections officer has ever been convicted in relation to any of these custody deaths. And,
right.
You know, all these trials, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Western Australia, New South Wales, you know, Lex Watton, you know, in Queensland, about what happened to him.
Yes, he was the one that was in prison. And, yeah, Hurley got free. And, I mean, it goes on everywhere. Zach Rolfe, you know.
It goes on.
Zach Rolfe, and, you know, the comments he made, you know, he's been quoted as making some terrible, you know, he was looking forward to going out into community and shooting up virtually, you know, might have that out of context, but yeah, bragging about what he was going to be able to do, dreaming almost of what he was going to be able to do. Yeah, because no one listens to a black community if they dare to open their mouths about the policing. You know, Uncle Ned has been trying to get the community safe from police with weapons for how long? You know, that man shouldn't be fighting like that. He shouldn't have to at his age.
I actually spoke to Uncle Ned when I was doing the Invasion Day breakfast show special programming on the 26th of January, and Uncle Ned just sounded so incredibly drained.
Yeah.
And we can all get drained. We can all, you know, but I was determined today to do the special programming for TJ Hickey and honour his memory and expose the fact that the police are investigating police.
Yep. It's just, you never get justice while that happens. There's 620 deaths or more now, I think, since the Royal Commission in 1991, and still, as you say, not a police officer has ever done time. And at least they're continuing on. I don't know whether you want me to quickly say about the rally up in New South Wales.
Please, yep.
On Gadigal country. Well, they began, you know, 22 years on, they're still continuing to hold an annual rally in commemoration of TJ. So on Saturday, they were there, his mum and the community and supporters. Uncle Dave Bell was the MC, and I think there was another elder MCing with him, because I'm going from photographs and what's online, you know, there's a little bit of footage online. Auntie Jean Bell did the Welcome to Country. And there was a lot of banners and placards, you know, still no justice 22 years on, justice for TJ, reopen the inquest, all those sort of things. Speakers were included Angeline Penrith, who some people might know, and Patty Gibson, who's a really good advocate for anything unjust, should I say. And they had their speeches at Waterloo Green, before heading off down through Redfern, stopping at the police station for a few more speeches. with onlookers, of course. The people in blue couldn't stay away from any of this. They had to make their presence felt. Then they paused, just near the police station before they marched onto the block down to the Redburn Community Centre, where they would have debriefed, I guess, as they usually do, and comfort each other. I mean, what else can you do?
It's quite disgusting, really.
Systems failed.
Yep. So can you tell us why do you think that people or listeners need to subscribe to 3CR and the Doing Time Show?
Well, anyone that ever listens to 3CR wouldn't even have to ask that question. because it's such a diverse content. I mean, there's something for everyone. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. You know, there's refugee radio, there's the Palestine programs, there's other, people. Doesn't matter what background you're from, you'll find something. There's gardening shows, there's environmental shows, the program after you, I think, Zero.
Climate Action. Yeah.
Climate Action. Yeah. Queer and trans people, they have their own,
It's diverse.
Space. They have space. And because 3CR is 50 years, I believe, it's been on air, and I heard them saying this morning, it's one of those it's the station for a community radio station. There are other community radio stations, but a lot of them have government money thrown in or whatever. 3CR runs on subscribers' money, basically runs on subscribers' money. So, we've got the advantage of hearing voices that we don't hear anywhere else. So I think people, even if they can only throw a few dollars in, I don't know that they have to pay the full subscription. If they can't, well, they can't be compelled to, can they? But if you can possibly,
pay something, that's right. Cheryl, you make me laugh. But thank you so much for doing all that. I mean, really, the Doing Time Show is a safe environment for people with lived experience and marginalised communities to come on. We do have a lot of First Nations content, and we always look at colonisation. And, of course, we look at women in prison and, but...
we'd be lost without 3CR, put it that way. So,
absolutely.
Try and get the subscription money together and get it in fast.
Cheryl, thank you so much for coming on to the program. The last thing I really want to draw attention to listeners, I know that we don't know exactly what's happening at the moment, but I'm really angry about the fact that the police wouldn't let people put up a plaque. The students organised a plaque to commemorate TJ and to recognise that he was chased to death, and yet they weren't allowed to put a plaque on as Ray Jackson, who's passed away now, and I'm going to be doing a commemoration for him. In April, says it was no accident.
No, and that's the thing. The police will let... I'm sort of correcting you. Police let the plaque go up if it was a result of, a result of accident. It took the police any involvement out of it.
You're not correcting. You're just clarifying, which is good.
I can't remember the exact wording. I haven't got it in front of me.
That's right. But essentially there's been no plaque put up.
Oh, they just wanted... They just want it reworded. So they've had no involvement. It just, he just happened to be riding his bike and fell off, which was rubbish.
It is rubbish.
He'd been assaulted by police either a week or 2 weeks before by one of the Redfern cops. So
exactly.
They can try and change history, but you can't. The truth is truth.
That's right. Cheryl, thank you so much for coming onto the program. It's been lovely having you. And hit the streets.
Yeah, I will.
Thanks a lot. Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And that was Cheryl from ISJA, Indigenous Social Justice Association Melbourne. And we have been honouring the death of TJ Hickey. And we'll just go on to our next interview after this announcement.
One Nation is surging in the polls. March for Australia is on our streets. We urgently need to build an anti-racist movement to counter this wave of hate. That's why the Refugee Action Collective has called a forum at Trades Hall on Wednesday, the 25th of February at 6:30 p.m. We'll hear from refugees and migrants, Jews and Muslims, unionists, Greens and Labor. Together we can resist the racists. Be there. Details on RAC's Facebook page. Refugee Action Collective is a 3CR supporter.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio, Doin' Time Show. And we're going to be going on to our next interview now. BJ Newton is a proud Wiradjuri woman and associate professor at New South Wales, Sydney. She leads the Bring Them Home, Keep Them Home research. In partnership with Aboriginal organisations, her research drives sector-wide impact through truth-telling, generating new evidence, community-led initiatives and advocacy. And I have invited BJ onto the show because it's 18 years on from the national apology to the stolen generation and generations, and the systematic removal of Aboriginal children is worse than ever. And I want to talk to her about that because there's not a lot that's really happened in this regard. Hello, BJ, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's lovely to have you. This is Marissa from the Doin' Time Show, and I just wanted to let you know before we start that the Doin' Time Show is a safe place where everybody from marginalised community gathers together to talk in a safe space.
Right. Glad to hear that.
So, yeah, could you just tell us what land you're from first, BJ?
Yeah, so my family comes from Wiradjuri country, which is in the Cowra area in central western New South Wales.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. So, BJ, I think I'm going to let you guide me, but I just wanted to start off telling you that I feel that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children are being removed from their families at alarming and escalating rates, and this is despite national commitments to ensure that injustices never happened again like that. Could you just talk about your research and discuss with us what's happened?
Yeah, so you are spot on 100%. Since the Bringing Them Home report, the number of our kids in out-of-home care has more than doubled, and SNAIC, the national peak body, has said that, you know, that it's set to double again in another 10 years if we don't do anything. The closing the gap target to reduce the overrepresentation of Aboriginal kids in out-of-home care by 45% it's failing. It's nowhere near on track. The research that I do with Aboriginal community organisations in New South Wales and ABSEC, the peak body, aims to understand the pathways and the barriers to restoration for Aboriginal kids in out-of-home care in New South Wales. So across Australia, we've got nearly 20,000 Aboriginal kids in care, a few thousand more on guardianship orders. 6,500 of those are in New South Wales. And so it's a New South Wales-based study, and we're looking to expand it over the next 5 years to understand from a New South Wales context, you know, for those families who have beat the odds, how did they get their kids home? And what we really found was that it is remarkable when families do get their kids home, because the system is set up to legally abduct their kids and to keep them in care once they have them.
And this is happening currently, but in a different guise?
It is absolutely happening currently. When you know, the apology happened, you know, it didn't necessarily take into consideration that removals were still happening at alarming rates at that time. And so, you know, it was an apology to the stolen generations, you know, throughout the 20th century, but there was no recognition of this is still happening today and we need to stop it. It was more an opportunity to think about, you know, reconciliation. I don't know how you can even think about reconciliation while you're still legally abducting thousands of kids. And for the opposition leader, it was all about, you know, absolving the blame from the government in the interests of rescuing children. Like, that's the language they use, is rescuing children, you know, from the kindness of their hearts, you know, that whole, you know, white saviourist perspective.
Absolutely deplorable. And in fact, the escalation reflects the ongoing failure of governments to confront systemic racism within child protection systems. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, 100%. So a few years after the apology, around about 2012, child protection systems across Australia adopted what's called structured decision-making tools. Now, they are assessment tools imported from the US that caseworkers use to help them substantiate and investigate allegations of abuse and neglect. Now, those tools have been proven as racist and more likely to rate Aboriginal children as at a higher risk. The evidence is right there in black and white that, you know, the tools that they're using is racist, you know, and it's a fundamentally racist system. So, you know, nothing's changed. They've just got more sophisticated tools these days.
Yeah, look, I don't know. I used to work for child protection many years ago and I left quickly because it simply wasn't, no. But can you tell us more about these tools that they have, child protection?
Yeah, so there's a whole suite of them. Like I said, they're called structured decision-making tools, and they do a few things. One is for assessing risk, and then there's another one called like a risk reassessment, and then they've also got them for restoration as well. And so basically, you know, you've got to go through and you've got to, you know, tick a box, and depending on the box you tick, that corresponds with the level of risk that the child will be, you know, deemed as being under. And it's ridiculous because it's like, you know, is the child under five? Is it a single mum? You know, is it an Aboriginal family? You know, like things are just, you know, like just the run-of-the-mill, like life experiences, not necessarily deficits. But you can see how it would score, you know, Aboriginal people higher. Now, the recognition of those tools being racist is so well known that Queensland and New South Wales have actually stopped using the scoring of those tools. But in New South Wales, they've continued using, you know, like the practice behind it. They've turned off the scoring. And then other jurisdictions are considering, you know, what they're going to do in response to, you know, knowing the tools are racist as well. But it just goes to show that there is an awareness. So all the Aboriginal kids that are in out-of-home care now were, you know, taken under these tools. So why are they not going home? And the reason they're not going home is because the system and the legislation and the policies have been set up that there are just so many barriers that when kids are taken, it's just impossible to get them out of home care. And the way the legislation is set up is that the child's so-called attachment to, you know, like a stranger, which becomes their foster carer or whatever, is seen as, that relationship is seen as more valuable than the family.
Interestingly, I'm just having a look at the media release here, and to be honest, my blood boils, you know, where you say, in some cases, government policies evolved from the belief that the Aboriginal race would not survive and should be assimilated. And in others, a conviction was that half-caste, inverted commas, children in particular should, for their own protection, be removed to government and church-run institutions. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, that was Nelson's words. They were Nelson's words. So that was.
But the quote. Nelson's. Sorry, the quote from the media release. Sorry, I was saying.
Yeah, so that's
not
right.
Your quote.
in the media release, UNSW used some of Nelson's words. And what's interesting is, like, everybody likes to remember, you know, the lovely, you know, butterflies and rainbows of Rudd's speech, even though there are parts of Rudd's speech that are really problematic. But nobody talks about Nelson's speech and how incredibly racist it is, some of the stuff that he says in that speech. And if you think about the last two decades, you know, Liberal were in power for a really long time. So that really just set us up for an even worse, you know, future than what we were expecting, because you've got that sort of that language and that rhetoric, you know, and ideology running through the child protection system.
Absolutely. And just for listeners' benefit, in case for younger listeners, who is Brendan Nelson?
Brendan Nelson was the opposition leader at the time of the national apology. So when Rudd did his apology speech, Nelson got up afterwards and he said he did his response speech. And, you know, I really encourage people to go and, you know, have a listen to it or read this transcript. It's very easy to get over Google. But it is just full of racism and white supremacy and saviorism. Reading it back again 2 decades later actually just makes you sick.
It's interesting that both speeches avoided acknowledging contemporary systemic injustices.
100%, yeah.
I'm so glad that I spoke to you because I really think this is so important for you to talk about it. So can you talk about the Closing the Gap target, which aims to reduce the overrepresentation of Aboriginal children in OOHC?
Yeah, so that's the target. The plan is, well, the target was reducing Aboriginal children out of home care by 45% by 2031. That target was set. It could have been about a decade ago now, something like that.
Sure.
And it has gone backwards every year since that target was put in place, and it's failing. There's a really fantastic report that the Family Matters campaign put out every year, chaired by SNAIC, and it has a report card on each of the jurisdictions across Australia. And it's a really, really accessible, easy report to read. I really encourage people to read it. And it's basically got a traffic light system where, you know, it's red for, you know, failing or not meeting the target, you know, yellow for, you know, like you know, there's some issues, but, you know, we're chugging along. And then there's green for, you know, we're doing okay there. And nothing's green. It's mostly all red because, you know, these child protection systems don't actually want to return kids. They don't want to stop stealing them.
It's all about the ruling class, you know, the upper class British mentality, 1788 all over again.
Well, for the Closing the Gap target to really work, and in New South Wales, I've spent the last couple of years working really closely and intensively with the New South Wales government in partnership with Aboriginal organisations and communities towards what we're calling Aboriginal Authority for Restoring Children. And the government were happy to work in partnership with us on that. However, it became clear quite quickly that to do that, that required the government to relinquish control. It required them to really look inward and, you know, face the truth of, you know, the disgusting practice within their systems by caseworkers and by, you know, enacting policy and misrepresentation and the experiences of families. And they couldn't confront that. So they reneged, and after 2 years, they said, "Sorry, BJ, the way you do advocacy is just too much, and we don't want to work with you anymore."
Who said that? The government?
Yeah, the government.
Oh.
So that was late last year. After, and you know, it's not just me. It's, you know, like
yeah,
a lot of people in New South Wales working really hard towards you know, the ARC, and just for it to be shut down like that, it just shows the power of government and the importance of us bringing the power back at the community level, which is now where we're headed with this.
Well, there needs to be genuine change. Obviously, the government, you know, didn't want to step aside and support Aboriginal-led, rights-based, anti-colonial systems of care.
Exactly, 100%.
Where to from here?
At the moment, we've got a campaign going over LinkedIn, which is called Sorry Not Sorry, 18 days of recognising 18 years since the national apology. And every day I am posting something on LinkedIn, whether it's some evidence from our Bring Them Home, Keep Them Home research, or it's a statistic, a good research paper, and animations. We've got a really incredible website being launched through ABSEC next week, which is called Know Your Rights, and that's about, you know, bringing the power back to Aboriginal families in understanding how to navigate the system. And then we're just, you know, working at the grassroots, trying to bring as much awareness and change for restoring Aboriginal kids home.
There really needs to be broader, you know, things happening here, because isn't it true that broader systemic racism persists in contemporary policies today?
100%, absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming onto the program, VJ. Are there any final comments that you'd like to make before we finish?
Look, I just encourage people, you know, if they're on LinkedIn, please check out the campaign. You know, keep your ear to the ground for the Bring Them Home, Keep Them Home research. The next stage of the research over the next 5 years is focusing on systemic systems abuse and Aboriginal resistance in child protection contexts. So we're expanding not just to child protection departments, but we want to know, you know, what are the experiences of families, you know, interfacing like hospitals and health and education and police and justice and housing and all these different systems and how they intersect in the, you know, removal of kids and keeping them in out-of-home care. So keep an eye out for that.
Keep up the good work, VJ. Thanks a lot.
Amazing. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye. And that was BJ Newton, who is doing some research around stolen generation and out-of-home care. And I'm going to be going to a song now, and it's by Kev Carmody called Pillars of Society.
Oh, the pillars of society cruise down the road each day. They got the economic wherewithal we can't afford to pay. They got them numbered bank accounts. The system assures they win. They exploit the population. We're on the outside looking in. Them pillars of society drive us like a tool. For them, that's cool. They drive Mercedes, Benz, and Porsches, live Rolls Royce gilt-edged lives. You can tell the affluent from the status symbols that they drive. When you're on the dole queue, they'll tell you to your face, you're a blood, you're on their system, and a blight in the human race. Them pillars of society drive us like a tool, for them that's cool. Well, they grace the social pages, they always make the news. At the church on Sunday, they crowd in the front pews. There's a hierarchy of dominance with a power at the top. And if you think you found the magic key, you find they change the locks. Them pillars of society drive us like a tool, for them that's cool. Walking down the freeway on their dotted line, I'd like to make decisions, but they won't allow the time. It says religion is the opium, I say the media's the cocaine. 24 hours of propaganda drugging my poor brain. Them pillars of society drive us like a tool, for them that's cool. Titles of status and dominance on their progeny and their class. Sir, Your Honor, Your Grace, Your Highness, were made to polish and lick their brass. But you, my friend, can be like them if you have their $1 million fee. But you find a system designed to keep us in line and walking on our knees. Them pillars of society drive us like a tool, for them that's cruel.
Forests are essential ecosystems, mitigating for climate breakdown, cooling the planet, and preserving the wondrous diversity of life. Yet, they are being destroyed at an alarming rate. Here in the Kulin Nations, logging continues, increasing risk of both fires and floods. The Bob Brown Foundation is calling a national day of action, the March in March for Forests. In Naam, join us on Sunday, the 22nd of March at 11 a.m. in Parliament Gardens to demand the protection for native forests. Go to marchforforests.org for all the details, including how to volunteer. March for Forests, Sunday, the 22nd of March at 11 a.m.
A 3CR supporter.
The state Labor government has begun works on demolishing Melbourne's 44 public housing towers to be replaced with private housing. Already, hundreds of residents have been displaced, often into unsuitable homes under duress.
The towers on Racecourse Road, Flemington, have become Homes Victoria work sites, while the families still living in the buildings are being treated appallingly.
Join Save Public Housing supporters in solidarity with residents.
Weekdays 7:30 till 9 a.m. as we engage with passing traffic to make some noise and show Jacinta Allen
that the demolition of public housing is unacceptable. Signs and banners provided or bring your own.
There's power in numbers, so see you at 120 Racecourse Road, Flemington, 7:30 till 9 a.m.
Safe Public Housing is a 3CR supporter.
Did you know? Hundreds of primates are trapped in Australian laboratories each year, subjected to invasive experiments and killed. These intelligent, emotional and sentient beings deserve better. The time for change is now. Head to banprimateexperiments.org and sign the parliamentary petition. Every voice counts. That's banprimateexperiments.org.
A 3CR supporter.
And you're listening to the Do and Time Show 3CR, and it's approximately 4:52, and we're nearing the end of our show. I wanted to thank Auntie Diane for coming onto the show to talk about TJ Hickey. This is a special program dedicated to Aboriginal teenager TJ Hickey, who was murdered by police. And then after that, well, he was impaled on a fence and it was no accident. And then after that, we spoke with Cheryl from ISJA, Indigenous Social Justice Association, Melbourne, and she gave a short solidarity message for TJ and also talked about the rally. Auntie Diane, just to mention the first interview again, expressed a lot of grief around TJ. And, you know, the Aboriginal community is still grieving. And then after that, we spoke with BJ Newton, who is a proud Wiradjuri woman and associate professor at New South Wales, Sydney, and she leads the Bring Them Home, Keep Them Home research. And she spoke about Stolen Generation and discussed the national apology 18 years on and what has actually been achieved. And, yeah, I encourage listeners to go on to and Google her and look at the rest of the research. And talk about this and to have a look at the systematic removal of Aboriginal children, which is worse than ever. And in fact, the Do and Time show does make very important connections with, you know, not only children in care, but then after that, they actually go to prison or, you know, they're racially profiled or there are, you know, that we all know that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples are overrepresented in prisons, and that all starts with Stolen Generation. And so there's a lot of connection within within colonisation and the oppression of Aboriginal people. So yeah, it's not too late to subscribe to 3CR as well. Please subscribe to 3CR and the Do and Time Show. I believe it's $40 for unwaged and $80 wage, and I believe there's also a solidarity price as well. Call 94198377, pick up the phone and subscribe by credit card, or you can drop into the station, 21 Smith Street. Collingwood. It's approximately 4:55 and pretty soon I'm going to be going out with our theme song, Blackfella, Whitefella by the Rumpy Band. Stay tuned every Monday, 4 to 5, for the Doin' Time Show. And, and just take care of each other and stay strong. Also, before I go, I nearly forgot, but Aunty Vicky Roach also wanted to extend her solidarity to TJ Hickey as well and to the family. We were going to record a very short message today, but she was quite ill and was unable to do that. So I wanted to give a cheerio for Aunty Vicky Roach, who actually did an excellent speech at the Invasion Day rally this year, 2026. Okay, so I'm going to be out of here soon, and it's goodbye from Marissa, and take care of each other. Stay tuned every Monday for the Doin' Time Show, 4 to 5. Bye.
Listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.